Began the sugya of Avraham Days of Sirtut and pointed out the following difficulty. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Abiyasa that sent a letter. The letter included, a pasuk from Sefer Yoel, and the Chachamim were surprised that scoring the lines in order to write those few words was missing. And Sirtut, of course, is a requirement. The Gemara quotes a machlokes, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, two words can be written, but not three. The Gemara cites a braisa that says, no, shalosh kosvin, three can be written, but not four. But beyond that, certainly sirtut is considered to be absolutely essential. And even though one may have thought that, sirtut is a very technical, limited halacha when it comes to kisvei HaKodesh, Sefer Torah, mezuzah, no, apparently our Gemara is just dealing with simply Ksiva Saposuk in the context of an Igeres. So apparently that is true, that Psukei Tanakh requires Sirtut regardless of the framework, the context, even if it's not in Kisvei HaKodesh. We pointed out the Rambam, Hilchos Sefer Torah, Zayin Tezayin, where the Rambam writes, Afilu Kosvo Al Haniyar, even if you're writing it on a piece of paper, as opposed to writing it on the type of klaf that would constitute appropriate Kisvei HaKodesh, or Tefillin, or Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, even Psukim that are written on a Niyar, like the Sigeris of our Gemara, that requires Sirtut. Interesting, the Rambam quotes the Braisa, that Mutter Lichtov Shalosh Tevos, 3S, but beyond that, that cannot indeed be done. When you look at the Kesef Mishnah, on that Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah is bothered by the following. Take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. And this Rambam was based on the Gemara we started to discuss in Menachos and Daf Lamed Beis. The Rambam writes the following. There is a Halacha Moshe Mitzinah that tells us that Sefer Torah and a mezuzah require sirtut. Ein kosvin Sefer Torah v'lo mezuzah ela b'sirtut. What about when it comes to Tefillin? No, the Rambam writes that's not true. Tefillin, Einon, Srichin, Sirtut, Menachos Daf Lamed Beis. It's the Kesef Mishnah's Bahadur with obvious question. If you saw that Rambam alone, Menachos Tefillin, that standalone, very simply, that there are certain cases of a Chefzah Shel Kedusha that require Sirtut, and others that do not. So therefore, one could discuss Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, and maybe some yes, some no. But once you see our Sugya, that tells us any form of ksiva, even in Petoras Igeres, requires sirtut. So how can you say in Igeres yes and tefillin no? How exactly is that possible? Good, you'll tell me that this was not a hilchasa in the sense of tefillin per se, but any ksiva requires sirtut. So how is it that we can argue avo tefillin ein srichin sirtut? How can that possibly be? So the Kesef Mishnah writes, maybe somewhat of a surprising answer. Enochinami, that's true. When it comes to something like Sefer Torah, in essence, a Sefer Torah per se, that requires sirtut. Okay? Mezuzah per se requires sirtut. Here, tefillin does not require sirtut. That's not the mechayiv, that's not the trigger. You know what the mechayiv is? Ksiva. Ksiva requires sirtut. And there could be a limitation. Ksiva only requires sirtut if it's a certain formation of words, right? Gimel tevos kosvin. Okay. So the Kesef Mishnah writes the following, that in principle, all right, maybe even in practice, but in principle, you could go ahead and write tefillin where every line is very, very brief. Our parshas of tefillin lay out like this. You could lay out a parsha tefillin like that. No? So it's very, very narrow. You're writing no more than three words on a particular line. Guess what? You don't have our Gemara, Vav Mabez, the requirement of Ksiva. You're going to tell me, yeah, but it's Tefillin. Oh, so Tefillin, Torah, Kisvei HaKodesh, that does not require Sirtut. But Enoch Inami, if you're talking about what we call normal Tefillin, 99.9999% of the time, all of our Tefillin, of course Sirtut is necessary. Not Betoras Tefillin, but Betoras stam ksiva, that sirtut is necessary. Gittin dafav amit beis. So again, that's surprising. That's somewhat surprising. Now you're like caught off guard. When the Gemara tells us that tefillin doesn't require sirtut, it means tefillin that are configured in the most highly unusual way. Good alumnus, I understand. The mechayiv is not tefillin, the mechayiv is ksiva. But the bottom line, that tefillin in on sirchin sirtut, is referring to this incredibly, incredibly unusual case. Not only is it difficult because, you know, okay, it's unusual. Maybe one could kind of finesse that, you know, because we're speaking in lamdus. You know, the mechayiv is not ksiva satfilin. The mechayiv is psukei hatorah, psukei tanach. No, but I'll tell you the following difficult. When you look in the Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Beis, that very Gemara, the Gemara tells us the following. Let's assume, for example, you have tefillin that's worn, and it can no longer be used. It's worn out for the purpose of tefillin. But you know what? What about using it for mezuzah? After all, the parshios and the mezuzah, right, correspond to some of the parshios of tefillin. So you know what? Can I go ahead and take those parshios of the tefillin and use it for mezuzah? Oh, the Gemara says, that's a problem. That's a problem of ma'alin v'kodesh v'ein moridin. Tefillin has a higher level of kedusha above and beyond mezuzah. You're taking something designated for this, and you're using it for that. In such a case, that would not work. So the Gemara is very bothered. That's the only problem. The only problem. Yes, Ma'ala B'Kodesh. Ma'ala B'Kodesh sounds like in principle, yes, but somehow it's considered to be inappropriate, a G'nai L'davar, but it's a candidate. The Gemara says, how in the world can it even be a candidate? No? After all, that mezuzah requires sirtut. No? That's a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Mezuzah requires sirtut. And tefillin does not. So you're going to take your tefillin that do not have sirtut, and you're against it for the purpose of mezuzah, that's not going to fly. Forget about Ma'alin V'Kodesh Ve'en Moridin. It's not going to be a kosher mezuzah. So the Gemara Vav Parchina on the Gemara now. Ha Moridin Osin. So what happened to the problem of sirtut? V'ha Bayis, you know what the Gemara answers? There's no other teretz other than to say Tanoi. It must be a machlokes Tanoim whether mezuzah requires sirtut. Because if mezuzah requires sirtut, then obviously the parshas of tefillin are not a candidate. This can only be possible if, just like tefillin does not, also mezuzah is not. Oh, so that reason of the Gemara, Menachos, Daf Lamed Beis, of Ein Moridin, it is only if you hold the mezuzah, Ein Otzricha Sirtut. That's the Gemara. So, that's so surprising. That's so surprising in terms of, right, the Kesa Mishnah. I'll tell you it's surprising because of the following. So take a look at the Tosus. I wanted you to see. So Tosus writes the following. Vim Tomer Tosus says, Dilma Misartate. Dilma Misartate. Maybe they did Sirtut when it comes to the tefillin. Maybe they did Sirtut. You know, the Sofer wants to write a very, very nice ksav. You know, I'm going to ask you, you're taking notes. Do you have lined paper? You know? So you're probably going to say yes. No? You have to have lined paper, you know, what you can't use, just, you know what, you'll probably say that, you know, you want it to kind of have a nice formation. It's easier to write when there are lines than there aren't lines, no? So why is the Gemara assuming it's such a dover pashut that the tefillin didn't have sirtut? Just pragmatically, prudentially, when the sofer is writing, dilma misartate, so that would be a very simple answer, no? That hacha mayaskinan, that there was sirtut. Oh, now we're good to go. No, we're not good to go because ma'alin v'kodesh ve'moridin. Why couldn't the Gemara simply have said that? As opposed to saying, ooh, this is machlokas tanaim, and you have to assume the only teretz is that sugi is assuming that even mezuzah doesn't require sirtut itself. Wow. So you know what Tosus answers? You know what you see from the Gemara? That the Gemara says the only real answer is that it's machlokas tanaim. The Yishlomar Tosus says, Dulo Hayu Regilin Lesartate. You know what? That they didn't do Sirtut. They didn't do Sirtut. Not just you're not mechuyev to do Sirtut. They really didn't do Sirtut. Oh, so if you're not having Sirtut, so therefore that's Akasha the Gemara. What do you have to say, Ma'alin V'Kodesh? Just simply say it's not even a candidate. And why in the world wouldn't they do Sirtut? Isn't it easier to write when you have such nice lines? Oh, so Chiddush Tosus. Tosus quotes Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi, Perakamah de Shabbos. kol ha-potra min ha-davar va-asohu nikra hedyot. You know what? It's a fascinating theme for a shir. Now, when do you assume this hagdara? That if a person is exempt from something and you go ahead and do it, that's a hedyot. That's a hedyot. It's amaratzis. No, that's a hedyot. That's not a midos chasidus. If a person is potter min ha-davar and you do, if there's no halach of sirtut when it comes to tefillin and you do sirtut, you don't get a pat on the back for that. That's considered to be nikra hedyot. So if it's nikra hedyot, that would mean bedavka. The sofer is not going to do sirtut. And that's why the Gemara was assuming menachos daf lamed beis that sirtut was not done. So that's exactly why. Indeed, that's true. Like, that's a really a heavy issue. When do you assume that's true? That good, you're potter min ha-davar, but maybe that's called the midas chasidus. And when do you say no? That's considered to be mamish nikra hedyot, nikra hedyot. Yeah, you're probably familiar with the Ramban on Tafresh Lamates. You know, it's raining outside. Who in the world cares? I'm gonna sit in the sukkah in the rain. No, I'm gonna sit in the sukkah in the rain. So you know what the Ramban writes? I'm gonna apply that Yerushalmi. No, that you know what potter min ha-davar nikra hedyot. It's raining, go in the house, you're going to sit there and get drenched. No, that's called nikra hedyot. That's called nikra hedyot. That's the chiddush that the Rama writes. You have to know when is it a midas chasidus, when is it a chumra, I'm going to be moser nefesh and I'll get drenched? Or do we say that no, that's not the appropriate way to fulfill the mitzvah, fulfill mitzvah sukkah? Now, I'll tell you a chiddush, there's machlokes, the Ran and Tosus, no? The Ran and Tosus. You know, the Gemara tells us the following, Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin. But there's a difference between the first night of Sukkot and the remaining night of Sukkot, right? Differences. The first night of Sukkot, you have to sit in Sukkot. The rest of the day is discretionary. Ibay Achil, Bayal Achil. So the obvious kasha the Rishonim ask, no? Really? Really? The first night of Sukkot I must. The rest of the day is it's optional. What do you mean it's optional? You have to have a Sudas Yantiv. You have to have a Sudas Shabbos. The next morning, you have to have a Sudas Yantiv. You can't eat outside the sukkah. You have to eat, and you can't eat outside the sukkah. So how can the Gemara say, Ibo'ach le'be'loach? So the Ran and Tosus both write, no, you know what the Gemara means, they're more technical. There's a time that you're going to have to sit in the sukkah on the first night that you wouldn't have to sit any other time, even for Sudas Shabbos or Sudas Yantiv. And you know what that is? If it's raining. If it's raining. Yard Vagsham. So you're allowed to say the following Kiddush. What exactly does that mean? You look at the Ran and that sugya, Sukkah, Chav Zayin. You look in Tosos, Brachos, Mem Tesma Beis. They say it differently. They say it differently. And that's what the Vilna Gaon writes. And that's Simin, Hilcha Sukkah, Tafresh Lamates. Pay attention to their expression, their formulation. Their formulation. Because there's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. You know what the Ran says? The rest of the day is the sukkahs. No, it's raining, eat in the house. The first night of sukkahs, eat in the rain. Eat in the rain. It's raining outside, so eat in the rain. So you'll get wet. No? Eat in the rain. Fulfill the mitzvah of the sukkos teishvu. Okay, and then go in the house. Eat in the rain. Okay. You look in Tosus, brachas taf memtes. Tosus expresses it differently. It's the second day of Sukkot. It's the first day of Sukkot, not the first night of Sukkot, and it's raining. Eat in the house. It's the first night of Sukkot, and it's raining. You know what Tosa says? Eat in the house. Okay, so far so good. Eat in the house the first night. Eat in the house the first day. Good. Guess what? An hour later, it stops raining. The first night, now get outside. And eat in the sukkah. You have to fulfill the mitzvah b'sukkos teishvu. The rest of the days, you only have to do it for Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yantiv. You already say Sudas Shabbos and Yantiv. You don't have to go out once it stops raining. That's what Tosus writes in Brachas Memtes. Not that you eat in the rain. You eat in the house, and then it stops raining. Now that it stopped raining, do I have to go out? It's the first night, yes, you have a mitzvah to perform. A mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. And the rest of the nights, you have a mitzvah Sudas Shabbos, you already fulfill the mitzvah Sudas Shabbos. So therefore, you don't have to do so. Wow. So the Gaon points out, this is a really incredible machlokes. What's the p'tur of Yardo HaGashamim? According to the Ran, the p'tur of Yardo HaGashamim is a tour of Mitzdayer. It's not pleasant. It's not comfortable. You're getting drenched. So I'll tell you the following Chiddush. There's no tour of Mitzdayer on the first night of Sukkot. That's a categorical mitzvah. You're uncomfortable. Good, you're uncomfortable. But eat the requisite shira pas in the Sukkot and be uncomfortable. Beyond that, you can go in the house. You're uncomfortable. So, you know, sometimes you can be uncomfortable. But you know what the Gaon writes according to Tosus? If you're Dohag Shamim, you know what the language of the Gaon is? Ein ale Hashem sukkah klal. It's not a sukkah. A sukkah is a dira sarai, but it's a dira. Water is pouring in. It doesn't have a Hashem sukkah. It doesn't have a Hashem dira. It's not a sukkah. So you know what? According to the Ran, if you eat in the sukkah in the rain the first night, it's a mitzvah rabba. According to Tosus, eat in the rain the first night, it's a bracha levatala. It's a bracha levatala. You still didn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's why Tosus never says, go out and eat the sukkah in the rain. Tosus says, you know what the nafkamina is the first night? When it stops raining, 12 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 3 in the morning, now go out and eat. But just because, you know, you put on your raincoat and you ate in the sukkah, you still didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shiva sukkah. And if you made a bracha, it's a bracha levatala. No? Oh, that's a chiddush of Tosus. No? So according to the Ran, it's a p'tur. According to Tosus, a p'tur. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah at all, if it rains. No? Yeah, I think this could be relevant to, again, the Ramaz. If you're eating in the sukkah, it's nikra hedyot. No? Nikra hedyot. According to the Ran, you know, you're opting out of the p'tur mitzvah. But maybe sometimes that also is, you know, called hedyot. Yeah, the Torah says you're p'tur, that's not good enough for me. No? I'm firmer than. Firmer than the Torah, no? According to Tosus, there's no kiyum. There's no kiyum whatsoever. You're patim in adavah that there's no kiyum. When you make a bracha, it's a bracha levatala. And this guy is sitting there in the rain, eating in the sukkah. Bli kiyum. I would say, of course. Of course it's nikra hedyot. It's more of a chiddush of nikra hedyot of, the chiddush of the Ran words of psur, or according to Tosus, it's not a kiyum. So again, that's what Tosus writes about Sirtut when it comes to Tulin. That's pretty unusual, no? That what kind of kiyum is this of doing Sirtut when it comes to, right, Tulin? And therefore, the minhag was never to do that. Never to do that. It was like unfounded. And why is that a chumrah? Why is that considered to be a midas chasidus? That's pretty fascinating. So I'll tell you just from all of this, whoa, what about the Kesef Mishnah? No? It's so difficult, no? So difficult. According to the Kesef Mishnah, you know, the tour of Tefillin of Sirtut is only if you write that strip, that vertical strip, of no more than 3 words in a line. You know? But any normal pair of Tefillin is going to have Sirtut. No? Is going to have Sirtut. So, isn't that Gemara so difficult? What forces Tosus to say, your potter in Nikra Hedyot, is because it's clear from the Gemara that Sirtut was not done. It was not done. What, according to the Kesef Mishnah, like really unusual? No, it was done in 99.9999% of the times. You know, this strange sofer that used a vertical strip for tefillin. Okay, he didn't have to do that. But anyway, of course it was done. That's why the Gemara says, the reason is, man v'kodesh v'en reidin. It's not just the kim to the Kesef Mishnah is difficult, but the whole sugya is difficult. What I will tell you though in Lamdus is the following. Okay, so what does tefillin no mean? Tefillin no when it's so narrow. And the column is so narrow, tefillin no. As opposed to what? As opposed to, let's say, Sefer Torah, yes. Sefer Torah, yes. That also is a great chiddush, no? When the Gemara says tefillin no, what does tefillin no mean? When you write tefillin in a strip, then the answer is no. But the Gemara says Sefer Torah, yes, and tefillin no. Mezuzah, yes, and tefillin no. So that means yes when tefillin is no. Meaning that you're going to write your mezuzah in a narrow strip. Strange, you know. I say to the guy, where'd you get this? He said, yeah, from the same guy who wrote the funny tefillin. This is how he writes a Sefer Torah in a mezuzah. Strips. So you need sirtut in a Sefer Torah. You need sirtut in tefillin. No, only mezuzah. Misil. So that's unusual, no? That's a further chiddush. That even though the Gemara says, yes, that Sefer Torah requires sirtut, mezuzah requires sirtut, that as opposed to tefillin, the exemption of tefillin is only narrow, that means even and the narrowest column of a Sefer Torah requires sirtut. Wow. You know why that's important in lamdas? I guess you see the following, that there must be two elements to sirtut. One is, we'll call that, the dinei ksiva, the hechshu ksiva. How do you appropriately write? Write anything, our Gemara. Anything that's written on a white line requires sirtut. And when it comes to Sefer Torah, Chiddush, no? There's an aspect of sirtut that's unique to Sefer Torah that's not part of the dinei ksiva. Vaharaya, that when it comes to tefillin, that you don't have that uniqueness, sometimes yes, sometimes no. And when it comes to something like Sefer Torah, always yes, even if it's in the most narrow strip. In other words, apparently there must be one aspect of sirtut, which is a hechsher ksiva. Oh, and guess what? That applies even to an igeris, and that applies even to tefillin. And then there's certain cases where there must be a different layer. In order to have, chalos Sefer Torah, a chalos mezuzah, that requires sirtut above and beyond the typical dinei ksiva of our Gemara itself. Wow. Whoa, so let's assume not like this Kesem Mishnah. Kesem Mishnah is pretty difficult, no? Pretty difficult. The Kimt is difficult. The Gemara is difficult, no? But what do you do? Our Gemara says any wide line requires sirtut, and the Gemara says Tefillin does not. Oh, so I'll tell you, the Ran in Megillah, the Sugya Daf Tes Zayin with Beis, the Ran Daf Heim with Beis and Daf Yariv, Dramasva Hilchasa, a beautiful terrace that the Ran gives. Why is there a need for Halacha Moshe Misinai? That mezuzah requires sirtut. Why do you need a unique halacha when it comes to mezuzah? Yes. And mezuzah, yes, and tefillin, no. What do you need all that for? Of course you need sirtut. Any ksiva requires sirtut. Gittin davav. So the Ran writes the punchline. Unbelievable, no? Hani mili b'ma shenitan likrosbo. B'ma shenitan likrosbo. You know what? I can argue igeris yes and tefillin no. Sounds funny, you know? Tefillin no, but igeris yes. What, igeris is a higher kedusha of tefillin? The letter that I write? Yeah. There's an aspect of igeris that tefillin doesn't have. And you know what that is? That sirtut is necessary our Gemara from iksav. I understand, aksav. It doesn't have to be mamish kisvei kodesh. But ksiva sapsukim, but I will tell you one hitch. That is a ksav which is omid l'kriya. Nitan likrosbo. That which is to be read, that has to be written in a certain fashion. Let's say it in the simplest terms. In order for something to be read, it has to be written in the most legible way. It has to be legible. B'mashen nitan likrosbo. Ooh, the Ran says, "Kadei shelo yisarvev hakorei b'kriyoso." Otherwise, the lines are going to start interweaving. It's going to look like a collage. So something that is set, meant to be read, that requires sirtut. But you know what? That's not true when it comes to mezuzah. That's not true when it comes to tefillin. The purpose of mezuzah is kriyas hamezuzah. The purpose of tefillin is kriyas haparshios. When it comes to mezuzah, when it comes to tefillin, ein korin bahem. And therefore, the starting point, the muskel rishon, is you don't need any sirtut. Any sirtut. It's different. It's worse than an igeris. An igeris is nitan likrosbo. But that's not true when it comes to mezuzah and tefillin. So the starting point is igeris, yes, tefillin and mezuzah, no. So you know what? Whoa. So if I'm going to say mezuzah, yes, Guess what? Ooh, that's fantastic. Asa Hilchas, that must be Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. That's not the starting point. That's step three. No? That's a new din, that mezuzah, despite the fact that it's not nitan likrosbo, that requires sirtut and tefillin. Well, tefillin, b'dinayu kaimei. Tefillin, we're back to our starting point. That's something that's not nitan likrosbo, does not require sirtut. So it does not require sirtut. There's no kiyum of sirtut if something is not nitan likrosbo. So therefore, the practice was not to do sirtut, even if it was very wide. And why would you say it's a chumrah, like a midas chasidus, to do sirtut if what's driving sirtut is that which is omed lakriya? And the parashios of tefillin are not omdos lakriya. Why would you say that that's a chumrah in order to go ahead and to write in that particular fashion? Whoa, that's what the Ran writes. So that's something that's pretty heavy. No? Tefillin is different than in Igeres. Igeres yes and Tefillin no. And when you look back at that Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, right, in Perek Aleph, the Rambam writes, Tefillin inon srich in sirtut, lefi shehein mechufin. Because guess what? The partials are concealed. The partials are concealed. This is not something that is apparent. Right? It's not nitan lakriya, and therefore we're back to our default, our starting point, where sirtut is not necessary at all. So here I'll tell you the following. I wanted you to take a look at the Tosfos and Sota. If you design them with a base, they're masfal kasfa. There the Gemara says the following. The Megillas Sota. The Megillah Sota. Part of the process of Sota. Chikas Hashem. It's necessary to write the psukim. And then, the race, the Maimorim. Whoa. It's so incredible. The Gemara says the Megillah Sota Kasfa Igeres Psula. If it's written, the phrase of the Gemara is like an Igeres. Psula. Why? Because Sefer Amarachmanu. The Torah refers to the Megillas Sota as a Sefer. B'midbar, right? Perakei, Pasach of Gimel, V'kasav Es Halosa Ela HaKohen, Ba Sefer. It's not a very big Sefer, but the Torah refers to that those series of words as being a Sefer. So it has the Dine Sefer. It has the Dine Sefer. So what does it mean if it's not written as a Sefer? Psula. See what Rashi writes? Below Sirtut. Whoa. That's what Rashi writes. Below Sirtut. If you're going to go and write the Parsha Sasota, that's Pasul. Why exactly is it Pasul? Because you need Sirtut. Why do you need Sirtut? A posuk, b'sefer. So guess what Tosfos' kasha is? You need sirtut because of a posuk of sefer. You know what Tosfos says? You need sirtut because of gittin davav. You need sirtut because ksivas apsukim requires sirtut. So what? How can Rashi say that sirtut is a pasuk of Basefer. Any ksiva requires sirtut. That's Tosfos' kasha. No? Wow, silted off Yitzhak Beis. You know what I'll tell you the answer to Tosfos' kasha is? The Ran. Bamed Dvarim Amurim. That ksiva requires sirtut. If it's a ksav, Hanitan Lakriya. A Sefer Torah, Nitan Lakriya. But not tefillin? Not a mezuzah? What about the Megillah Sota? You know why it's written? Now, it's written because part of the process of Sota means the tragedy of, you know, Mechikas Hashem. Mechikas Hashem. Right? Let's talk about that. Right? That does require. Right? So, Parshav Sota, that's the Mechikas Nitna. Why in the world should that require Sirtut? Why should that require Sirtut? I'll give you a parallel. If you look in the Yerushalmi and Sota, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. You know, typically, when you have that form of ksiva, mitamin es hayadayim. Kisvei HaKodesh mitamin es hayadayim. No, those are Mishnayos. No, Kelim, Perek, right? Tezvav. No, you recall? No, from a long, long time ago? Okay, right? Mishnah Yadayim, Perek Gimel. No? Maybe that more recently, no? But the Kalim, the Meimos, you know, that practice was not so easy, no? Okay, so certain Kisvei HaKodesh Metames HaYadayim. What was like driving that? You know what? That there was a practice, an unusual practice, that if things had Kedusha, they were put aside. You're not going to take a Dabar Kadosh and just let it just hang around, no? You're going to put it aside. So, you know what was happening? People were putting aside the Kisvei HaKodesh in the very place that they would put aside Truma. Because Truma has a Kedusha. Truma would have a Kedusha. You know what was happening? You put Truma aside, you know, and the Truma starts to, you know, there's food left all around. You know what's going to happen? Animals are going to come and they're going to defile, destroy your Kisvei HaKodesh. Oh, so the Chum declared, you know what? That the Kisvei HaKodesh are Metamines HaYadayim. Metamines HaYadayim. And that will render the Truma inedible. Inedible. It'll be Metame the Truma. Oh, so therefore we're going to make it clear. No, we're not going to put this and that in the same area whatsoever. So the Chumra goes there. Right? Metamines HaYadayim. What about the Megillah Sota? What about the Megillah Sota? Yerushalmi writes the following. Megillah Sota is not Metamines HaYadayim. You know why? Because Metamines HaYadayim, you know what Yerushalmi writes? L'mechika nitzna. L'mechika nitzna. It doesn't have the status of, because L'mechika nitzna, it's temporarily written in order to be erased. Temporarily written in order to be erased. So it doesn't have the typical status of that which is written. Oh, so I'll tell you, this fits in very well according to the Chiddush of the Ran. The Ran doesn't write this about Sota, but it fits in very, very well. Tosus is so bothered. How can Rashi say Sota daf yud zayin mud beis that the reason Megillah Sota requires Sirtut is because in the parsha of Sota the Torah uses the word basefer? Isn't it obvious that you need Sirtut? Our Gemara. The answer is that no, Sirtut is only on that which is nitan likrosbo, which is not true of tefillin, not true of mezuzah, not true of the Parsha Sasota. And therefore, if you're going to argue that Sirtut is necessary, you're going to need another makar. Oh, so I have hilchasa when it comes to mezuzah. And enochinami tefillin no, because it's not nitan likrosbo. And I need a drasha to tell me that the Megillah Sota, absolutely yes, absolutely yes. Well, here I'll tell you something very interesting. Tosfos has a fascinating suffix. The Tosfos there, Sota Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. You ready for this? Can you do Sirtut? You ready? La'achar ksiva. Can you do sirtut la'achar ksiva? Wow. It was written without sirtut. Guess what? The lines weren't scored. No problem. Let me do it now. Let me do it. You know, the penmanship was incredible. Yeah, this was a train so far. Everything's so great. So let me just fill in the line. Tosa says, umiyo lo yadana. Im sirte ben shita la shita lachar ksiv yimahani. Would that work? You know, that suffix sounds like it pops, no? Can you do sirtut la'achar ksiva? You know, I'll tell you the question is, what do you need sirtut? Is it alach nechefza? Or is it a hechsher ksiva, no? See, if you're going to tell me it's a hechsher ksiva, so you have to do it before you write, no? You're going to write and then do sirtut? Hechsher ksiva, hechsher ksiva. You have to say, no, it's alach nechefza. You know, there's certain requirements, for example, of Kisvei HaKodesh, certain requirements of the Sefer Torah, certain requirements of Mezuzah. So if one of the requirements is the Sirtut, is it so obvious that I have to do it first? It has to be the first step, it can't be the last step. Is that so obvious? So Tosfos Mamash writes this suffix. Can you do Sirtut La'achar Ksiv? Can you do Sirtut La'achar Ksiv? It's Rabbi Kaveger, no? Chuvas Rabbi Kaveger, Simenun. Ah, you should have said this immediately, no? Of course you can't. Of course you can't, no? The Gemara says you can't use your old parsha Tulin from Mezuzah because it lacks Sirtut. It lacks Sirtut. See, Rabbi Kaveger writes, Lefi Tosus, right? Yisritin Achshav. So do your Sirtut now. I have my tefillin. The tefillin was written without sirtut, that's true. But, you know, they're no longer kosher, but these parshas are intact. Let me use it for mezuzah. You don't have sirtut? So do the sirtut now. Do the sirtut now. The Gemara says, no, you can't do the sirtut now. You know what the answer is? Tanaihi. The only way this is possible is if you hold that mezuzah does not require sirtut. Because if you need sirtut, you need it from the scratch, from the get-go. You can't do sirtut right. How can Tosfos have a suffix? How could this have a suffix or whether you can do sirtut afterwards? It's mafurish you can't. Because the Gemara says that sirtut would explain why you cannot use the parsha of Tulin for mezuzah. Because the sirtut was not done. Was not done. Wow. That's pretty powerful, that kasha Rabbi Kaveger, no? That's pretty powerful, that kasha Rabbi Kaveger. Whoa. Rabbi Kaveger also writes the following. Just simply, we assume, now, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a Sefer Torah without Sirtut, psula. Oh, why psula? I would say, if you have a Sefer Torah without Sirtut, you sartate. No? Don't lane today, but you know what? Send it to the Sofer and let him do Sirtut, and we'll lane next week. No? Poshub Shad, the Sefer Torah below Sirtut, psula means that ain't no takana. How in the world can you be machshel achar ksiva? So isn't it clear that a Sefer Torah is psula without sirtut? That means ain't no takana. And if you can't use the parashas of tefillin from mezuzah because it lacks sirtut, it means that, not as is, you can't do anything with it right now. Because if you could correct it right now, that's exactly why the Gemara had to say there's a Ma'alim HaKodesh problem. Because the sirtut can absolutely be corrected. It can absolutely be corrected. Wow. So how in the world can Tosfos have a suffix that maybe Sirtut works after the fact when it's so obvious that it doesn't? It's so obvious that it doesn't. Oof. No? Okay. Mezuzah requires Sirtut. That's clear. Mezuzah requires Sirtut, no? Why? Why did mezuzah require sirtut? Why did mezuzah require sirtut? So if you take a look at that Gemara, which I hope you saw, no, menachas taflamid beis. How do you know mezuzah requires sirtut? So I'll tell you something like unusual. No? If you have a mezuzah, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yudah Bar Shmuel, if kasva igeres psula, if you have a mezuzah that's written like an igeres psula, on what basis? Oh, asya ksiva isefer. A mezuzah which written as an igeres is psula, based on the drasha of ksiva. So, what in the world is igeres? And what in the world is ksiva ksiva? No? Two kashas, no? Kasvi geras psu asik ksiva siva. What is igeras and what is ksiva ksiva? What does that mean? So take a look at the Rashi. Rashi writes, you know what kasvi geras means? You write your mezuzah without sirtut. You wrote a mezuzah without sirtut. Rashi adds something else as well. Maybe it means lo dikdik bechaseros v'yiseros. That's very basic, no? You didn't get the letters right. You wrote it phonetically. You wrote it phonetically. But that's not enough, phonetically. No. What do you mean? That sometimes a word is malay, sometimes it is chaser? You know, what's the story with that? That's kind of a heavy issue, no? That's the Ramban, right? The opening Ramban. No? The psich of the Ramban to a spiritual Torah. That if you have a Sefer Torah, even chaseris v'yaseris, if they're off, no good. Why is it no good? That's an incredible Ramban, because every letter of the Torah corresponds to a Shem Hashem. And if you knew the secret to all this, you could spell out all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the letters of the Sefer Torah without having anything missing or any additional letters. Ooh. Right? That's that Ramban, Amulil, Yesh Lanu Kabbalah Shemes, Kol HaTorah Kulu Shmosur Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, the Ramban writes the Halacha, that's why if you're off by a single Vav, all Sefer Torah is Psula. All Sefer Torah is Psula. Wow. It's like unbelievable, you know? That's the first Ramban, no? And yeah, Hadrin, you know? The last mitzvah of the Torah is Kisvah Lachem Es Hashir Azos, right, a Sefer Torah. And that's also a major discussion. What about Bizman Hazeh? Is there a mitzvah Ksiva Ser Bizman Hazeh? You know, the Shagazari, you know? How can there be a mitzvah Ksiva Ser Bizman Hazeh? The Gemara in Kedushin says, Anan Lo Bekinah Mechaseros Viseros. We don't know where certain vavs are supposed to be. We can't even write a kasha sefer Torah. But that sounds unbelievable. What does that mean? All of our sefer Torah apostle? How does that work? That's the last minchas chinuch. Now, the first Ramban, the last minchas chinuch, right? Address these issues. It's unbelievable. For another shir, we'll have to go through these things. No, but that's like, there's an unbelievable Rabbi Kiveger. It's like, you know, that. People thought computers were discovered recently, you know? Rabbi Kiveger, you know? A walking Sefer Torah, a walking computer, no? Rabbi Kiveger has a comment in Shabbos after Nehemiah Beis. The Gemara has a drush that doesn't correspond to what we have in the Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Kiveger just lists in the Goyin HaShas, all the Makoros in Chazal, where there's a drush that doesn't correspond to what we have in the text of Tanakh. You know? It's like, oh, the Goyin HaShas goes down the whole page. It's like, really, it's unbelievable, you know, like, you know, so those are the Rabbi cases you can learn from Musters later, you know? Like, you know, like, yeah, where else do you find this? No problem, no, then just writes and writes and writes and writes, every drush that we have. Sometimes in Sefer Bereishis you have that, no? You know, Rashi will, you know, quote a drush and you look at the post, okay, you know, there's something, you know. So if your Maver Sedra late Friday night, you probably don't even notice it. No? But if you do it Kaseidah, you know, on Aliyah Day, and you pay attention, you're going to notice that, you know, there are a number of Rashis that kind of are talking about letters that, you know, that they're not exactly there, you know? Like, yeah, like, it's interesting. The Gemara says that there were some chaseros v'yaseros, that, you know, so that's an amazing deal in the Minchas Chinuch. When is that a problem? When is that not a problem? When is that a problem? When is that not a problem? You have an extra of a missing vav. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like, how do you resolve that? So that's one of Rashi's biurim. That if you write the mezuzah like an igeres, because in igeres you write phonetically, but you can't write kisvi hakodesh phonetically. Like, where you place the vavs is really critical. Okay, if that's what it means, lo dikta b'chaseros yaseros, I understand. Maybe one could even raise the following kasha. Isn't that obvious? No? If you're off, you're off. You need like a gzereshava of ksiva ksiva. You know, if you're off, you're off. You know? I said Kriyashma today, but guess what? I didn't pronounce the words right. You know, oh, you're not Yotzei because of Gzeres Shavas. You're not Yotzei because you didn't say the Kriyishma, no? You're writing and it doesn't correspond to, you know? Okay, but okay, maybe since phonetically was good, maybe that's meaningful. Okay, I get it, you know? But Rashi writes, Kosva below Sirtut, below Ksirtut. That's Rashi starts with, below Sirtut. Then Rashi says, right, this other consideration, that maybe Chaseros Viseros. So Kosva below Sirtut, wow. So that means a mezuzah requires sirtut. How do you know mezuzah requires sirtut? How do you know mezuzah requires sirtut? What does the Gemara say? Asya ksiva ksiva. What do you mean asya ksiva ksiva? A mezuzah requires sirtut because halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Asya ksiva ksiva. Even that Rashi has to teach us what that means. When it comes to mezuzah, uchsavta ma mezuzahs, ksiva, good. And there's another place of ksiva. Where's the other place of ksiva? Where's the other place of ksiva? So there also take a look at the Rashi. No, that's going to be. One source Rashi says is v'kosel ha-sefer krisos. Well, that's surprising. No? A get? That's ksiva, ksiva. The requirements of a get is true of mezuzah. That's surprising. Oh, Rashi writes me, there's another possibility. Ksov zosi karam basefer. Wow, what? Amalek. Then a parshas b'shalach. Oh, also chedushin. Chedushin. Take a look carefully at the Rashi. When the Gemara says that a mezuzah kigeris is psula, what does that mean? And what is its source? So Rashi says, one of the meanings is lasiratut. And it's based on ksiva. So Tosus immediately is bothered. Now, well, you need sirtut in a mezuzah because of ksiva ksiva? You need sirtut in a mezuzah because of Ilchasa, because of Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that's why Tosus says, Kasvi Kikiris cannot be without sirtut. That's Ilchasa, Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. That's not because of ksiva ksiva. It's not because of ksiva ksiva. Wow. So according to Rashi, this sounds like an incredible chiddush that, you know, someone says to you, mezuzah requires sirtut. And if I ask you, how do you know that that's true? You know what the answer is going to be? Well, there are two makoros. There are two makoros. One makor is Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. The other is Sefer. Ksiv mi Sefer. Wow. There are two reasons that Sirtut is necessary for mezuzah. One is because of Ilchasa. The other is because of Sefer. Tosus even suggests, you know what the Sefer is? Parsha Sasota. Ba Sefer. So I'll ask you an obvious question, like, why do you need two makaros for Sirtut when it comes to mezuzah? One is Hilchasa, and one is Sefer. Why do you need two? So we already have discussed, you know, there are two possibilities of sirtut. One is that sirtut is a heksher ksiva. The other possibility of sirtut is heftza, sefer. The sefer requires sirtut. Not the writing requires, the sefer requires. What is it that demands sirtut? The ksiva or the sefer? The ksiva or the sefer? Ooh, I'll tell you nafkamina. Can you do sirtut afterwards? If it's halach in sefer, I would say yes. The sefer has sirtut. If it's halach in ksiva, then as a heksher ksiva has to be before. Yeah, I'll tell you another nafkamina. Okay. If you look in the Beis Yosef, in your day, Reish Ayin Aleph, Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai, who quotes the suffix of Rabbeinu Simcha. You ready for this? You ready for this? What happens if you have sirtut? But you know what happens sometime over time? Over time? Ooh, that's pretty cool, no? Over time, the sirtut fades. Over time, the sirtut... I have a picture. You know what? 10 years ago, there was sirtut. I look at it now, I don't see it at all. Things have a tendency of fading. Beis Yosef also discusses, what is sirtut? Does it mean like drawing a line? Or does it mean charitz? You know, you score. But that's an incredible suffix of Rabbeinu Simcha. Does the sirtut have to be kayim l'olam? Or is it enough if the sirtut was there, b'shas k'siva? Now, I'll tell you, I think those two nafkaminas relate to this issue, no? Can I do sirtut afterwards? Or must it be done earlier? And what if it was there earlier, but it's not there afterwards? If you ask me, like, what is that deal? What is that deal? Is it a lach and cheftza of sefer? Or is it a hechsher k'siva? Or is it a hechsher k'siva? No? With nafkaminas. In those directions. So Tosus is bothered by Rashi. Why do you need two makoros when it comes to mezuzah for sirtut? We already have. So what do you need? A second makor. So this is what you think about. Maybe sirtut mezuzah is driven by two dinim. There are two dinei sirtut when it comes to mezuzah. One is the hechsher k'siva, one is the cheftza shel mezuzah. K'siva misefer means that the cheftza shel mezuzah requires sirtut. And the hilchasa is that the mezuzah requires sirtut as a hechsher k'siva. L'may nafka mina, I'll tell you the two flips of, the Tosus and Rabbeinu Simcha. When it comes to mezuzah, the sirtut has to be kayim la'olam, because otherwise it loses its status of ksiv misefer. But you would not be able to go ahead and to be misartate afterwards, because the hilchasa demands sirtut as hechsher k'siva. There are two dinei sirtut when it comes to mezuzah. I would say maybe that's not such a chiddush. Rashi writes there are two different makoros. There are two different makoros for sirtut when it comes to mezuzah. Obviously, they're reflecting two different elements of sirtut. What about when it comes, for example, to sota, Megillah sota? There's only one makor, no? Sefer. Ooh, so I'll tell you the following chiddush, no? So when it comes to mezuzah, there are two dinei sirtut, hechsher k'siva, and sefer and cheftza. And when it comes to Megillah Sota, there's only one makor, ba sefer, cheftza. You see where I'm headed, no? So Tosus says, can you do sirtut afterwards? Tell me what Tosus is talking about. Where in the world is this, says Tosus? Sota Yitzayinu Beis. Can you do Sota of the Megillah Sota? Can you do Sirtut La'achar K'siva? Maybe yes. What's Rabbi Kaker's Kasha? It's against the Gemara, no? Because the Gemara says you cannot take your tefillin and use those parshios for mezuzah because there's no Sirtut. You know what the answer? So do sirtut now, according to Tosus. Rabbi Kaker's Sarachiyun. No, Tosus does not have a suffix in mezuzah. Not in mezuzah. In mezuzah, there are two makoros for sirtut. There are two dinei sirtut. It's not just based on sefer. But you need sirtut in mezuzah as a hechsher k'siva. That's why it's obvious in the way you can't do it. You know what Tosus' suffix is? When it comes to Megillah Sota, where the long and short of Sirtut is only based on Basefer, Cheftzen, is it so obvious that that can't be fashioned Achar Ksiva? In Mezuzah, certainly not. But maybe for Sota, yes. So I'll tell you the following. Oh, that's why Rashi has two Makoros. And one could argue that the Suffolk of Tosfos is a limited one. A limited one. When it comes to something such as Sota, where the whole Din Sirtut is based on Cheftzen, but not based on Maisa Ksiva. All right, so that's the starting point, no? This is Poshub Shav Rashi Shita, why there are two Makoros, and that they're not identical, not identical at all. And maybe our Gemara that tells us that Ksiva requires as a Hechsher Ksiva, that's Nital Nikrosva. That's Nital Nikrosva. But if something which is not Nital Nikrosva, like a Megillah Sota, then no. Then the need for Sirtut is based on Xeris HaKosva, Basefer. Alachin Cheftz. All right, so let's review these Marmakamos now. It's a shame. We'll have to continue. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Next step.
I can't say it's the same.
Yeah, correct.
What about Get? What about
the Gilas? Right? We missed the boat.